Welcome to The Syndicates, where today on this episode, we confront the mysteries that lurk above. With Pete, our alien connoisseur, and Todd of WSTR, who's seen beyond our skies, we dissect the documentary UFO Revolution that is rich with extraterrestrial lore. Together, we'll navigate the murky waters of UAPs, government secrets, and physics-defying craft that may just alter our grasp on reality. We'll touch on the extraordinary, debate credibility, and even entertain the notions of interdimensional visitors among us. So brace for a journey into the unknown where conjecture and fact dance on the edge of the universe. So join us as we look to the stars above as we search for truth, or something like it. All that and more on this episode of The Syndicate.
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Guys, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Todd, I have Todd here from WSTR, Galactic Public Access, and you are in the same room for the first time with my cousin, Peter Casa.
And what's up, y'all?
What's up, man? So we are all here today because I don't know if this was my idea, Todd's idea. I know, Todd, you've been like wanting to do a UFO podcast ever since I radicalized you.
Yes.
over all these years of talking about UFOs on WSTR. But we are finally here. We watched TMZ Presents UFO Revolution. But before we get into the three-part documentary series on Tubi, I first want to talk about how we even got into the subject matter, how we even discovered UFOs and got into the whole UFO craze and phenomenon. Pete?
Wait, someone here has discovered an actual UFO?
No.
I'm joking.
The topic of UFOs. I mean, if you saw a UFO, that would be a great time to talk about this. But
I'm just joking.
Pete, I'm going to start with you. How did you discover UFOs?
Honestly, I think I've just always been fascinated by the concept of aliens, right? But at a very young age, when I saw Signs for the first time, I was like, okay, wicked. I'm down. I'm here for more. I did see, you know, like the classic ET when we were kids and all of that stuff, but never really was drawn to it. I think Signs really put it on the map for me. And then I dove into like the whole Alien series and, you know, everything outer space after that.
I introduced you to Aliens. Remember, I came over. I was like, I have the quadrilogy on DVD.
Let's watch it. Let's make this happen.
And then we watched it, and I was like, wait a minute. This is Halo. Did Bungie steal ideas from Alien movies? They looked exactly the same.
Or Doom, if you're old school like me.
Yeah, or Doom.
Ooh, yeah. Doom. Oh, yeah.
So you got into it, Pete, because you're always interested in the unknown and the ultimate question, are we alone in the universe?
Yeah, man, definitely. It's just been always like in the back of my mind. I'm a huge fan of Ancient Aliens, the show. So hopefully y'all are also a fan of just how cheesy that is as well. It's just a guilty pleasure of mine. I think I've seen like every episode probably at least 5 times.
Oh, my God.
Too bad I'm not Greek and I can't do some crazy hair. But yes, everything alien, everything outer space, I'm in. Let's go down the rabbit hole.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ancient Aliens. I love that show. But Todd,
yes.
I know you're going to have an interesting story too. How did you get into the whole subject matter of UFOs?
Well, my introduction was X-Files. So X-Files on Fox every Sunday night, it was like a new episode. And like, you know, X-Files did this kind of like, they would always switch between the conspiracy theory, UFO stuff, and then kind of had like a monster of the week or strange of the week. And, you know, so it was kind of a nice little mix. And every once in a while when it got deep into the kind of conspiracy stuff, it was like, you know, oh, like, you know, it's kind of like where I heard about Roswell and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. I kind of dig this. This is kind of cool. But it wasn't, I mean, it's been very recently where I've kind of like rediscovered this passion. Like, I really want to get into this and like learn a little bit more about it. And obviously, Armand, you kind of pushed me in the deep end, you know, and then I kind of went down my own rabbit hole. But I had my own UFO encounter. So I saw one. And so this is what I saw. So, yeah. Okay. So I was letting out my dog, Charlie, at the time, and it was a really clear night. And I was like, I'll just take a look while he does his business, you know. And so I'm looking up at the sky, and, you know, it was just a really clear, crystal night. And I saw a plane. I was like blinking, you know, I'm like, okay. And it was pretty high up there. I was like, oh, okay, that's a plane. Cause at first I was like, oh my gosh, it's a UFO. But now I was like, no, that's a plane. And then, so I kept on like looking more upward in the sky. And at first I thought it was a satellite because it was kind of moving in a straight line, similar to the plane. So I was trying to get a reference between where I saw the plane and where I saw this thing. And I was like, that's not a satellite because it was moving really fast. It was moving pretty fast. And so I kept on using the plane as my reference and looking, keep on kind of looking up. So I just followed it for a little bit, and it literally was kind of going on a just kind of vertical line, and it literally disappeared. It just went, boom, and it was gone. And so what? I've seen a couple shooting stars. I've seen a couple shooting stars, and I know the trajectory of like a shooting star, it kind of fizzles a little bit. I seen a comet as well. And so I was like, this was clearly not a plane, and it clearly wasn't a shooting star or a comet or something like that. And it wasn't a satellite. And I was like, that was a straight up UFO. Cause it literally like disappeared. It was kind of going really fast, and it just went, whoop, gone.
Wild.
Like, I think I just saw a UFO.
What color was this object?
It wasn't like blinking or, you know, pulsating or anything like that. It was just kind of like a yellowish, reddish kind of color, you know, just
holy shit. I saw the same thing one time. Okay, keep going.
So what? So that was just like, I'm like, oh, straight up UFO, dude. So it's just been recently, like I would say the last like 2 years that I really kind of just like really dove deep, and we can talk about that more later. But yeah, that's kind of been my, I owe it all to X-Files.
Love that. So I saw something similar. I was not walking a dog. I was in my bedroom, grade school, middle school age, staring out the window right after I got in bed. And this thing, it didn't look like it was going through the sky, but it looked like it was coming closer. So imagine like a reddish amber orb that looked like it was getting closer, and it kind of pulsed like as if it was like getting closer, closer, closer. And then it like got sucked out in the opposite direction and was gone.
Wow.
Now, that's what great. Do you think that could be?
At first, I thought it was like a supernova, you know?
That was just coming closer.
Oh, a star just blew up. Closer. Anyways.
Yeah. But same kind of thing. That's why I asked what color it was, because this has been buried in like the back of my mind like since my childhood. And I was like, you know what? When I was a kid, okay, I thought it was a UFO. But then I was like, you know what? It was probably nothing. It's probably something like nature-based.
Yeah.
And I just chalked it up to that, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I never encountered the fantastical. I simply just want to believe.
You don't have to believe. You don't have to believe. It's true. It's just true.
It is true.
Yeah.
They're out
We're
there.
Getting off the fence immediately.
Real. I mean, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
All of it.
I would. Yeah. So like there's this one book that really just like blew my noodle. I have to pull it up here.
While you pull that up, Todd, yes. You know, I have to say it. Because we did an episode of WSTR in the early days.
Oh, here we
go. I think it was like episode five.
Six. Yeah,
episode six. Okay.
Yeah.
The first time where we didn't talk about Star Wars, I was like, let's talk about like Alien. So we talked about Alien. And I think near the end of the show, I was like, okay, let's talk about aliens. Who, I believe in aliens.
Right.
You, Aaron, at the time, Rutch. They're like, are you out of your damn mind? Why do you believe in aliens? I was like, because we can't be the only life in the universe. It's right. just impossible. And you're like, okay, crazy. Fast all forward right. 8 years later.
Here, I'm a believer.
I mean, if we were the only life in the entire universe, that would be like winning a Powerball jackpot every single day a trillion times over.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So this book, yeah, so this book is called Witness to Roswell. So, like, again, X-Files was my only... I knew about Roswell, knew about Area 51, knew about all the crackpots that, like, there's something behind in Area 51. But, yeah, Witness to Roswell, it's essentially like a cold case. They treat it like a cold case where they're investigating first, second, third, kind of. And it is beyond convincing. I mean, it's just like straight up. They did such a good job of like investigating and like really just going with the facts. Nothing like conspiracy theory or anything. Just like, this is what happened. And this is like what took place in that, you know, that short amount of time. And it ain't no weather balloon. I'll tell you that much right now. So, yeah, but I would highly recommend that book, Witness to Roswell. It's great. Great.
So onto Roswell, the whole weather balloon image. Yeah. That's like the classic, like super well-known image of like the tinfoil and the balsa wood and all that.
Yeah.
That was in a book that I was obsessed with in grade school called like Myth, Legends, and Lore or something like that. And I would check it out every other week and I would study that image and I would think, okay, this came from space. I mean, a little first grade version of me is thinking that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm talking with like my mom about it. I'm like, Mom, this came from space. And she's like, Pete, that's tinfoil. that's
she
nothing.
Don't believe.
Pete, what are you thinking, man?
Okay, that's tinfoil.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like this whole three-part series that we watched, that image popped back up. And the first thing in my mind was my mom telling me that was tinfoil.
Pete, well, that's tinfoil. But that picture where, yeah, that picture where they have like the weather balloon, there's like the two generals, whatever, like talking, and they have kind of everything spread out. Literally in the back of that picture is a box of the real stuff.
Oh, get out. I'm gonna Google this.
I swear
right now.
To you. Yeah. It's, I swear to you. I mean, yeah, I think that's the thing with the phenomenon. It's just like, once you don't have to scratch hard and you'll find a lot of stuff, you know. There's a lot of good, you know, I know we're gonna be talking about Tubi, but like there's a couple other ones that are really convincing to me. One, this was a recent one. And I think I told you about this, Imran. It's Moment of Contact. And this is a 2022 documentary. And it's about a three teenage girls saw this alien in 1996. And it's in Brazil. And it's fantastic.
I know what you're talking about.
The documentary, they go back to Brazil and kind of like recreate like what happened and interview people and.
Yeah, because what's convincing about that, I haven't seen the documentary, but I'm familiar with the story, is that there's a consistent story and it's all corroborated by different people, which then it's like, oh, this probably happened, because if they're lying, the stories would be different.
Right. And if it's something that they're trying to cover up and saying it didn't happen, I mean, each story, each person's consistent with what they saw.
Right.
What happened to the alien? Like, there was two aliens, and like one cop actually, the cop like grabbed one because they were injured or something, and the one cop grabbed the alien, and then he died. Like later,
like just straight up died, or just like
the cop died.
Yes, he died. The cop died. Yes, because of contact, like the physically contact, and they were trying to do some medical examination on them, and there was a smell, and everybody says it's like a really unique smell, and there so many different witnesses said the same thing, and I'm just like, okay.
Did anybody say what it smells like?
It like kind of like formaldehyde, like an ammonia formaldehyde, you know, like kind of like a really pungent kind of smell. But yeah, the girls, the one, there's like two that they saw. The one girl, it's like three girls and a mom. They're just walking and it's like in a corner, and they said it looks like a little devil because it was like red eyes and like 4 feet tall. Yeah, it's a really good documentary. I would highly recommend that. It's like so good.
Definitely have to check it out. So let's break the seal and talk about the documentary that's...
Let's do it.
You know, we're all here to talk about today, which is UFO Revolution presented by TMZ on Tubi for free.
That's what got me. Brought to you by TMZ.
Yeah, I know. Out of all the people to talk about this, TMZ. I don't know if that adds, you know, credibility to it or takes it away since they're like kind of clickbaity. But what's interesting about this documentary is what makes it different than any other UFO stuff is that it focuses in on the key players and even has the key players in the documentary, which is Jeremy Corbell, which is a journalist, George Knapp, who was the original journalist, the OG from the late 1980s, 1989, I believe, talking about Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar, who was the original UFO whistleblower, is in this documentary too. David Grush, who is the most recent from the government, talking about UFOs, whistleblowing in front of Congress. So we have like all of these. Oh, and then Commander Fravor and all of these other whistleblowers are coming out. And they're all featured in this documentary because, like, you know, prior you would have like the History Channel documentaries where it's like a whole bunch of like weirdos in suits and they're like, you know, I saw an alien once. Or it's like, oh, you know, I was abducted one day. Like, no, these are all like credible, legitimate
alien people. Autopsy on Fox, you know, it's happening.
I saw it on VHS.
It's just like those two little Mexican aliens that were in little boxes.
God, I can't help but think that was like
those little alien bodies were the birth of one of the best memes of 2023.
The cake that they're made out of.
But
cake.
They kind of bring it up in the documentary. That guy, the U.S. guy, is there. That pilot, he's like, "Don't put me by those aliens." Like
Lieutenant Graves.
Yeah,
yeah, because like he went there. I mean, yeah. Let's get into it because he went there to like talk about, you know, disclosure, and that's like the big topic of this entire documentary and why everyone's coming forward. And then it's like, what the fuck? This is a circus. They're clearly fake. And I remember like the news articles when that happened, because it was shortly after the congressional hearing in the Capitol about, you know, David Grush talking about wild stuff that the Department of Defense is doing. And then meanwhile in Mexico, it's like, we have alien bodies. And then they show them, and I'm like, oh, no.
No.
It's like, I want to believe, but not that hard. But let's talk
somebody
about episode
cake,
one.
Somebody made a cake of them, too. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah,
I would totally buy that cake in a heartbeat.
I kind of want to make the cake. But let's talk about episode one, which is the breakthrough. And that's whole episode is mostly talking about the 2017 New York Times article that just breaks the seal. Because like Jeremy Corbell released three UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon video, GoFast, Gimbal, and I forget the third one. But like
Tic Tac.
Tic Tac. Tic Tac, Gimbal, GoFast.
Yeah. Yep.
And New York Times was like, these are real. They are craft. The original headline.
Yes, what was the original headline?
They had to change it. The original headline was government in possession of vehicles not of this world.
They almost
that was
ran
at the
that,
New York Times. And then within a day, they changed it. They didn't change any. They didn't like edit any of the article's information. But they changed the headline because the editor-in-chief was like, that's too sensational. I mean, we need to, like, reword
it. War of Worlds. It's going to be War of the Worlds. And
exactly. So they reworded it. But I heard an interview with the two journalists that put that out. They're like, yeah, we didn't change any of the information within the article because that's all true.
Well, is it, wasn't it Lou that really released it?
Lou? Yeah, Lou Elizondo. And yeah. To the Stars Academy.
I know.
So, Pete, what did you think of all that?
Honestly, it was like...
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right, and you're probably going to hate me for saying this.
Do it.
Oh, boy.
It felt like I was watching an extra long version of a History Channel three-part series, and I loved it. But
now, why do you say
no,
that?
No, Well, are we talking about the episode or like the info?
I mean, we could talk about the episode itself.
All right, let's talk about the info. So,
okay.
when those like three videos first popped up, that was what, 2017?
Yeah.
I remember a few of my buddies who are also pretty deep into the rabbit hole of UFOs. They saw it on like Twitter or wherever they saw it. Fast forward, gave it to me, and I was like, get the F out of here. And I think Armand even like reached out to me. He's like, dude, check this out. Here's the proof. Armand's like, here's the proof, man. Sent me like 10 texts. And I'm just like, yeah. What? So, yeah, that's like just hearing them talk about that and how there is nothing tech wise that our country has or just that the world has that could mimic what was recorded. Yeah, that blew my noodle. And which, thank you, Todd. That phrase is stuck in my head now. But yeah, just seeing that and having it acknowledged, right? That's huge. And right. I think even like Tom DeLong like lost his noodle about this thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Yeah, you know, with those videos that came out, because like, Bob Lazar, since 1989, when he came out and said, I worked on reverse engineering a flying saucer in Area 51, specifically S4. And the way he described it, how the vehicle worked, is in the videos that were released in 2017.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know if you two are familiar of how these vehicles operate. They're gravity propulsion vehicles. They're not conventional, you know, because like with our fighter jets, it's like fire coming out. And that's how we go
Dragons.
Forward.
Drag. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Push.
So in layman's terms, Armand, how do these things work?
It's like fire coming out. That's
work. The actual like gravitational.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
It's a
propulsion.
It's
yeah.
Gravity propulsion vehicles. So they manipulate.
GPVs.
They manipulate time and space. So imagine. Space is like a giant rubber mat or a mattress where it's like time and space. And then the curvature, like if I were to put a bowling ball
on
your mattress, you know, it's going to sink down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And the classic. I know you're, you know.
Okay. And then the curvature of the bowling ball going into the mattress, that curvature is gravity. And you know, the denser the object, the stronger the gravitational pull. And so the way these vehicles work is using that idea. Imagine the bowling ball in the mattress, and you take your fist and you like pushed down in front of it, the bowling ball is going to go into that little gravity well that you created, and that's how mm-hmm. it moves through time and space.
So, would you say that these GPVs are the bowling ball to the fabric of time and space?
Yes. That's how they operate.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you look at the gimbal footage,
Lazar like called it, and yeah. that's exactly. And again, with they're all three different kind of looking vehicles. They have wings. They're not emanating heat.
Right.
That's the biggest one, I think.
That's the trippy part.
Yeah, that's the trippy part, because like everything, even if they don't have wings, you know, like still things still can fly if they don't have wings, but it's kind of hard. But like they just do not operate like anything we have. And again, when these things started showing up back in the 20s, I mean, probably before then too, but there's a Vatican case where the Vatican found one, and they go to Germany and they're like, is this yours? I'm like, no. And then
that's right.
The Vatican found one.
Yes. It was Mussolini.
I mean, there's records out there that Christopher Columbus saw these as well, you know?
Yes. There's one Armand and I have talked about there. There's one that Corbel posted, like a painting. It's like a Renaissance painting.
Yeah.
And it's John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, you know, okay, tracks, beautiful oil painting. And then in the top, there's a saucer-looking thing with light emanating from it, like depicting kind of the Holy Spirit, but in essence, it's a UFO. And I'm just like, how is that showing up in a Renaissance painting? Exactly. There's no other reason to say that they saw something. Back then, yeah, you know?
There's actually a bunch of paintings like that, and that I know is like burned in the back of my brain from the Ancient Aliens episodes.
Oh, here we go.
I definitely know what you're talking about. And there's a slew of them. Yes. And yeah, there's the one John the
That's
Baptist.
That's a spaceship.
What's up, Armand?
No, Giorgio Tuculis is always like, you see that? That's clearly a spaceman. That's a spaceman in ancient Sumeria.
Flying discs. They didn't have the sun back then. That's a UFO. The disc.
Yes, it's an airplane. They didn't have airplanes back then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
How do they know what that is? I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
But it's aliens.
But it's aliens.
But the one painting, Todd, that you're referring to, is that the one that has like the giant gold disc and it's like late at night, it looks like?
Yeah.
Just shooting down like a...
Yes.
Beam me up, Scotty. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, that's a UFO?
That's a UFO?
That's an alien ship?
Yeah. I mean... Armand, we pretty much like with this first episode too. You could tell, they definitely used Corbel and George Knapp a lot, and we really got like a little. This is like George Lucas and Dave Filoni. This is like Master and Apprentice. Like this is like, you know, Knapp has been around. He's been slaying this for like 40 years. You know, he's been doing this, and Corbel's kind of the up and comer, and they kind of use the same guy to get kind of momentum with Bob Lazar.
Right.
But I really do think they use this first episode's really about, you know, the 2017 article. But it's funny, even back then and even now, it's like people are still like, whatever.
I know. Because like in the documentary like gets into it too. Like people are well, the government's like, we can't reveal that UFOs are real or the alien life is real.
Yeah.
Because of the mass panic that would ensue after doing it because
there's a term they use. I forget what it's called. Like, I forget.
Chaos.
Maybe like mass hysteria, but like, because that happened during the War of the Worlds radio drama. And I've listened to it before. And if you missed the beginning disclaimer, like this is a drama, this is drama studio.
Oh yeah, people panic.
It's like he did such a fantastic job because it sounds 100% like a news broadcast of them finding aliens again, attacked by aliens. It's like,
hey man, when you don't have the internet and you only got the radio, this is real. Real, man.
Oh my god, the Martians
and
are
the
here.
Pony Express.
Yeah.
You hear that, Cletus?
Oh my god.
Well,
the red planet's attacking.
They already had UFOs over the White House a couple times.
Right, the Foo Fighters.
Yeah. I wish I could have experienced that radio broadcast firsthand. Like, that would have been wild.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. Like you said, if you missed the beginning, you would have you would just be like, we got to get out of here. It's bad.
A whole bunch of blown noodles all over the place.
Yeah, right,
exactly.
The noodles would be blown. But, but speaking of, like, the UFOs going over the Capitol in the 60s, I believe, what's interesting is that we have a congressman in this documentary, Tim Burchett, and he's, like, my whole, like, a big part of my time in Congress is I want disclosure to happen. I want to push for more transparency and accountability from the government when it comes to UAPs. He's like, I don't care if that makes me unelectable. I need this to happen.
I was all for that.
That's like the hugest push, too.
The guy kind of came out a little bit extreme. he has some extra hot sauce going on with him. But I'm definitely down with what he wants to, achieve. And it sounds like he just doesn't give a fuck, which I'm cool with. Thanks, bro. We need one of you in there to unseal those documents.
Right. Because, like, he wants exactly what David Grush wants. Because, like, the thing is, like, the Department of Defense isn't accountable for trillions of dollars.
Yeah,
they simply can't be like, well, government's, like, auditing them, like, where's this money going to? And they're like,
they don't know.
I don't know.
70% or 80% of their budget. They're like, oh. Yeah.
So people like Tim Burchett, David Grush, want to hold them accountable because it's like, listen, not only are we sitting on top of possibly the greatest discovery of all of mankind, but we have to be accountable to the taxpayer. This is my money that's going to these projects. My tax dollars, and you can't even tell me that we have like experimental craft or UFOs made of another world, or if they're alien in origin, or if they're us from the future or from another dimension. You can't even reveal that to me. The thing is, here's the thing. Here's my little tidbit on UFOs. This is pre-pandemic. I was at a comedy show with some friends, and friend of friend, I was sitting next to him. And of course, hey, what do you do? Oh, I'm a designer. I design websites. And at the time I was like, imagine whatever car brand you're thinking of, I made their website. He was like, impressed. He's like, whoa. I was like, cool. What do you do? He's like, I work in defense. And I was like, oh, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, there's a top secret location in Illinois. And he told me which suburb. And I'm like, I didn't know anything was there. He's like, what?
Is it Fermilab?
No. It's in Romeoville.
$100 it's Fermilab.
It's not Fermilab. But I was like, but what do you do specifically? He was like, well, I work on projects. I work on things. Like, imagine the most technologically advanced thing you could think of. What we work on is 100 times that.
So 100 iPad nanos.
But if that tracks, it's like clearly he's working on pretty advanced stuff.
That's where we got our fiber optics from. And
we got the fiber optics from the aliens.
Yeah.
How do you think about solar panels from the aliens?
Yeah. So we need more transparency when it comes to this issue.
Yeah, can we just, let's get the two. Because the episode two with David Grush, I mean, essentially what David is saying is, like, you have one or two options. Either this guy is completely credible, and he's basically saying, it's X-Files. That's exactly what he's saying. It's like, there is these secret programs, reverse engineering, and defense contracting where they're trying to weaponize this. And it's all, no one sees it, and we have all these craft, we have bodies, we have all these other things, or he's lying. So it's like,
he's definitely not
even
lying.
If he's like half right, it's still, he's right. it's like, you can't, either this guy completely lying, but like, he had to vet that a little bit of what he could say publicly with, and so they're not denying it, because if they denied it, then that would mean he's a liar, but he's not a liar. So
no, because he testified in front of Congress. And if you were to lie in that setting, that is perjury, and you go to not jail, you go to prison.
Prison, right?
Yeah. So he's definitely not lying.
What if they allowed him to share all that because it's literally a sliver of the tip of the iceberg that they're willing to share?
100%. I mean, this thing is like way bigger. It's way bigger. And I think what he's saying, though, is like, where is the accountability? There isn't an accountability, because these big defense contract like Lockheed, and they have all the stuff. They have the goods. They don't want to give it up. And again, like everything else, the war machine is what we need. We need war to build this stuff.
For money.
I mean, I got friends at Lockheed. I can go to, knock on their door and be like, hey, where are the aliens at?
Yeah, exactly.
What suburb are they in?
And the thing is, I don't know, Pete, if you listened to the Joe Rogan Experience, but David Grush was on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And he said a little bit more information than was expressed in the congressional hearing.
Yeah.
The key things was, we've been in possession of these vehicles since the 1930s.
Yep.
Some of them are really old, like ancient history old. And Lockheed Martin is the one reverse engineering these vehicles.
Yep.
Get out.
Yeah.
Why are we still driving cars with gas?
That was in the Corbell
the 30s,
thing. With...
Why can't we just have like some really cool transportation tech?
Well, Bob Lazar even explained this. Like, imagine if you went back to the Victorian era and then put a nuclear reactor in front of them. They're not going to know what it is.
True. Right. True that.
Yeah.
For a long time, they're going to interact with it. They don't understand what radiation is. They get hurt. They die. It's the same thing how we're trying to reverse engineer these craft that are beyond our comprehension.
Right. Right. I think that was in the Corbell one. Some dude created, it wasn't Lazar, but some guy created, or maybe this was another one. I forget. I've watched so many documentaries, but essentially this guy created a self-sustaining water car, like, or something.
Yes, I've seen that.
And the guy just flat out disappeared.
Oh, yep. The worst case of suicide I've ever seen. Two shots in the back of the head.
Right, yeah.
Five shots to the back of the head.
Because it kind of, like, I joke about this too. Like, Star Trek and teleportation, that would be awesome. Like, that would be great. Like, just tell me, beam me up, let's go. I'm over here, now I can go to Armand's, and we can hang out.
Can you imagine, like, all your atoms, like, disassembling and then rematerializing, and somehow, like, you come to that one spot and your hand is actually, like, in your forehead? Or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it'd be like the fly.
Well, I think in one Star Trek episode, there's like worms and whatever. There's like a worm episode where they're like in between phases or something. But our whole infrastructure is built on transportation. Everything. Everything's built on transportation. And if you take that away, or you make it better, if you don't use the fuels that these big companies want you to use.
Oil,
right, fossil fuels, all this stuff, then that deteriorates from the economy. And like, if we could just teleport to wherever we want to go or whatever it is, or that would destroy the thing. And they don't want you to destroy the thing. They just want it to be somewhat better. It's like, buy economy cars, but like the lithium polymer that we use, like, we destroy the earth too with that, so don't worry about it. But just buy these battery cars.
Well, hopefully in, 30 years at least, our car's running on element 115 and Bob Lazar is accurate again. And we'll see what happens then.
Right. The thing is with the gravity propulsion system, like, you don't need teleportation because you're manipulating time and space.
Right. True.
It's essentially making a wormhole. Right. And you go through the wormhole and you're in another part of time and space.
Yeah.
So I could make a wormhole.
You could be stuck behind your bookshelf. Who knows?
Make them stay, Merv.
Wait, are you talking about Interstellar now?
Yeah.
What's
no,
going on?
No.
It's the same path.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's a different Syndicate episode. Come on.
Really put it back in.
Yeah. But anyways, David Koresh. I mean.
David Grush. I thought I said David Koresh for a second.
No, not Koresh. Grush.
No, he's telling the truth. He has to be. And he also didn't divulge too much information because.
Right.
The CIA. No. Yeah. The CIA, who he works for. They came out and said, because like during that congressional hearing, he kept on saying, I'll say this in a skiff. I'll give you more information in a skiff, which is like a secured, classified information facility. Like it could be like a locked room that's not recorded. I'll tell you more information. And the CIA stopped him.
Yep.
He was like, no, he can't say anything else. Which says everything he said at Congress is true.
Yes. Yes. I know.
So with all this leaking, I just want to know what he's up to now. Because he kind of went radio silent, or did he not?
I mean, he was in this documentary. We did see the reaction of our government, the way they wanted to smear him and his credibility. Mm-hmm. And they
put a hit on him.
Explain.
Well, he says this on the Rogan,
I remember now.
I mean, more or less, like, he's sleeping and there's people in his room, not aliens, like people like trying to scare the shit out of him and just say, this is like, if you keep on talking, we're going to get your wife and you and whatever else. I mean, they're trying to steer him away. And I think, again, That was one of the things that was very interesting, again, about like witness to Roswell was like a 4-star general went door to door in Roswell and said, if you say anything, we're going to kill you and your family and anyone else. You know, because by the time that's the thing, like with Roswell in particular, the event that actually happened with the landing of the saucers or whatever. That was like a month prior to this guy coming to town and saying, I think I got something that you guys should see to the policeman. So things, they were already at the farm. Look, everybody looked at what he had before the government showed up.
Really?
And then when the government showed up, they're like, this is bigger than we thought it was. And again, the first initial report was it was a UFO. And then the next day, like, it's a weather balloon with balsam aluminum foil. But
it was a saucer.
Said saucer. How you go from saucer to a bunch of tinfoil?
Yeah.
It was a clear cover.
Uncle Sam, that's how.
Uncle Sam. Yeah.
But again, the reason that some of that got somewhat contained was that they put the fear of the government. And again, you got to remember the times. It's more patriotic. Like, I'm doing this for my country. But in this book, there's a couple, like, death side, like, confessions where, like, it was aliens from these generals and stuff.
It was aliens.
It's great. It's great. But
it was a battle underground. It was us against Greys. I got shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, I don't care about the UFOs or the USOs or the actual vehicles. I want to see the bodies, man. I want to see what they look like.
Roswell had 4, at least.
That's all I care about.
3 were dead, 1 was alive, and 1 went to the base in Ohio.
The one that was alive, like, he was
they
alive
put
for
that
a while,
little man
right?
on a road trip all the way to Ohio, of all places?
Yeah. Because, see, so here's the other thing that is interesting is that I think it's Wright Force or Wright Patterson or Wright... something.
Wright-Patterson Air Force.
Thank you. They were already reverse engineering like Japanese and German tech because they wanted to do it better, obviously. And the most American way is to copy it and make it American. So that's what they're doing. And that's why everything from Roswell actually went there.
Okay.
Yeah, they were already doing with the Japanese and the German stuff. Like, they were already reverse engineering all that information, you know, all that tech. So it made sense to bring that stuff there. This is so funny too. They had a semi truck with the ship.
That's exactly how I'm picturing this.
Yeah, they had the semi truck with the ship trying to get to this train yard, and like, it went right through town, and everybody's like, "What the heck is that?"
And guess what?
Yeah, I'm just picturing like an old school military like pickup truck with a camouflage on it.
Yes. Here's the thing. Yeah. And guess what shape that vehicle was? It was a bell.
Yeah.
It was a bell.
It looked like a bell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the vehicle that was recovered from Italy was also a bell.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a story. You can look it up. It's a Die Glock, which is German for the bell.
Mm-hmm.
That was the UFO that they discovered. And they were trying to reverse engineer it. They didn't know what the hell it was.
No.
They got close. Like, it would like fly up into like essentially space. Like, it would get like really red and then shoot up into the sky. And then that's it. And it landed, I forget where, but we recovered it during the war.
Yes. Well, and the documentary, the Point of Contact or whatever, the one in Brazil, guess who has the ship?
Us?
Yeah. Yeah. We have 14, at least 14.
That's what Bob Lazar says. And they're all different shapes and sizes. Well,
Armand, tell me that guy that tweeted or did that little like Snapchat thing where he was at work.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Pete.
Wait,
gonna
some
get
guy
a kick
leaked
out
a
of
UFO
this.
On Snapchat?
Yeah. Yes.
Get it out of here.
So, yes. Yeah, I posted it on Instagram. I'll post it again.
Yeah.
When I release this episode, there was a guy doing a TikTok video, like military army guy, and he's like, you know, in the background of his video is a black UFO looking vehicle,
yeah,
like flying saucer,
no
almost
way.
Jet yes. black, and like people like Zapruder'd that footage, and they. They determined it was a Lockheed Martin like research facility, and it is. They found it on Google Maps. They're like, this is the tree, this is the hangar. It match up exactly, so it's like Lockheed
Dude,
Martin.
Dude, I love internet sleuths. They're like a different breed.
They are different. They are.
You know that guy breed. That's like, you show him a picture and he like knows exactly where it is in the world. He's like, oh yeah, based on that tree, that's you know, North America, and then over there. It's over there. People did that to this TikTok video.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's I don't know what it is, but
dude, I can't find this anywhere on Google.
It's really hard to find.
Yeah, it's really hard to find. Gotta go to the dark web.
I was on WSTR and I was like, yeah, I'll post it. Who cares? Because like the government's trying to like expunge it.
Yeah.
And it took me like 4 months. I'm like, oh, here it is. And I posted all the videos.
Armand has it booked under favorites.
How could they not find this?
Yeah. And then Aaron's like, oh, this is obviously an experimental craft. And I'm like, where do you think they got it from?
Well, you know what's super funny? And I think that here's another, this is a really good book. And this guy's on the documentary, Richard Dolan. He was featured a couple times on the documentary, and he has something called, I read this, it's UFOs in National Security State, Chronological of a Cover-Up from 1941 to 1973. And literally the book is all these different sightings that happened from 41 to 73, not only like in the U.S., but then in other parts of the world. And I think that's where the ignorance of the United States is, like, well, we can cover this up, but you can't cover up all these other sightings that happen, you know? And I think truly right now, I mean, because everyone has a cell phone and stuff like that, it's a little bit more easier to document or at least show, you know, something happened or I saw something in the sky and, you know.
Yeah, because the aliens aren't just coming to America.
No. No.
It's like, oh, there's the one country where we can only go.
There's the U.S. Let's go there.
Let's just go there. We have to go to New Mexico.
Well, let's go to the globe's Florida.
There's that one. There's that one famous one in Arizona where, like, the mayor comes on or the governor comes on, has like an alien dressed up and like, guys, you didn't see anything. Like, just go home. It was some whatever. But there were so many different eyewitnesses. Like, yeah.
You're talking about the Phoenix Lights.
Yes.
And then their explanation was because, like, it was
swamp gas.
No, because like this vehicle essentially was like hovering over Phoenix for
a long
hours.
Yes,
and
a long time.
The officials were like, oh, it was flares. We were doing a test. They're flares.
Yes, 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 yes.
And military people are like, that's not how flares work.
Right. Well, there's a thing. There's a thing. Corbell had something on Weaponized, which they released was this military base, and it's a huge, like, triangle-looking thing. It's huge. And it stood over the base for an hour, and there is multiple witnesses that, you know, these guys are, like, at the barracks, and they're just like, dude, what is that? I don't know. And it just stayed there, like, in stealth mode. Like, you could barely see it, but once you saw it, it was there, you know? And then the whole base lit up and they went after it and it just literally disappeared.
Wild. That freaks me out. The one thing that truly freaked me out though was the jellyfish UFO thing.
Jellyfish.
That thing looks like a straight up like mech warrior, like mixed with like a predator. That thing was going and out of like camo.
Oh yeah.
And no one saw it. It was floating around the base and that thing just looked terrifying.
Yeah, because you weren't able to see it in the visual spectrum, our eyeballs. You couldn't see it in night vision. They can only see it in infrared.
And they couldn't track it. They had they were saying something about, right, the camera operator was manually.
Right.
Couldn't get a lock. And that
couldn't
and
get a lock.
I think it was Tic Tac. Because, like, the jet fighters, when they lock onto something, it's locked.
Yes.
You can't break it. That UFO broke it. And they keep on showing it where it's like in the crosshair and then it breaks and it goes off. That's impossible.
Yeah. Impossible. Yeah.
But it moves so fast that it broke the lock.
Well, and then, I mean, there's all these things like where that Tic Tac, they were doing the stuff off the coast of California. And there was multiple sightings. I mean, I don't think it might have not been that exact video, but like, there's multiple sightings of all these things outside of, and they're just like, yeah, they're there. And, you know, they're trying to contain it because there's that stigma of like that you couldn't, you know, there's so many things that the pilots wouldn't tell because they would be like,
well, you're crazy. I'm on a
crackpot, you know? Yeah.
Which is what you called me. Like Armand, yeah,
but the jellyfish is just trippy. And then
that's the most alien thing we've seen out of all of these UFO videos.
That thing was like the most sci-fi thing.
That I was like, this is like a probe droid on steroids because this thing is
Straight up. It was just gliding. It was straight up just hovering.
And then the thing, like I think it's in this one where Corbell is like, there's other footage where it like goes in the water and then just kind of comes up
and that's
it shoots off at a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
That thing is wild. And then I was like obsessed with that after I saw that on this three-parter.
Yeah.
So I just started Googling like jellyfish alien and someone on Reddit tried to illustrate what it probably looks like. And I was like, nope, X out. Not looking at this.
Was it horrors beyond your comprehension?
No, thanks, bro.
Yeah.
It looked like something that would just peel your skin back and like, yeah, no thank you. You can miss me with that.
So what you're saying is Lovecraft is real.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Don't be poking around things. You've seen aliens.
You know? Right. Now that leads us to episode 3, which is more so what these things could be.
Right. Right.
Like, are they?
This episode's called Possibilities. Is that right?
Time travelers.
Yeah, they could either be time travelers or either intertemporal time travelers, interdimensional from another dimension, or they're from another world. They're extraterrestrial. I don't know.
All right, hold up.
But seeing that jellyfish, I'm like, that's bad.
What if
maybe it's from another dimension?
All right, what if they are time travelers? And we find out way, 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 way down the road that, okay, the butterfly effect is real, and that's why we can't get anything with these UFOs, because if they slip up once, the future's fucked. So they're here. It's like a Southwest ride, and they're just like going through time, and then they're going back.
Well, there's even theories like the Roswell is like deposits, like they're giving us stuff, which is another theory. It's like they didn't crash. They're like,
so let's, some tech. Let's
build an iPod.
Let's entertain this. Let's entertain this thought.
Yeah.
So say they are time travelers. Say they are throwing technology at us, like throwing a Rubik's Cube at somebody. Right. But like, that could be a possibility, because like a lot of these crafts are different in shapes.
Yeah.
So also, could they be not only humans from the future, but also humans from other dimensions where they would have constructed different looking vehicles to tackle the same issue of traveling through time and space?
I really have like no solid theory on this.
Am I
this
busting
one?
Your noodle?
Like,
what if they're coming back to deposit, how you said, tech to help us advance a lot quicker in order to deter some extinction level event of humans later?
Skynet.
Yes. Right. Yeah. 100%.
Stop AI from developing.
Dude, the AI is here, baby, and it's going to come after all of us.
I see Terminator 2. I know how the Skynet comes online. And yeah. Since we created nukes, like aliens like showed up, like, bro, you don't want to be messing with that. There's so many sightings around military installations and even like disarming stuff. They can't
or arming stuff.
Or arming stuff, yeah. They just can't explain it, you know. So this is where it's kind of like, for me too, is like you got the tech part where it's like these are craft, and then you got kind of like the alien part, and then there's like this kind of spiritual stuff as well that's kind of interesting, that is kind of hard to explain, because like if like that's another thing, like I never read Whitley Strieber's like Communion or them, and I was like, you know, with the classic Gray, and I find like I gotta read this thing, I know about it, I just gotta read it, and I'm like, this is messed up. Like this stuff, what he's talking about is terrifying. Terrifying. I know South Park made fun of him, whatever, but like it's.
You know what's terrifying? The movie The Fourth Kind. That shit is fucking terrifying.
There was a. I don't know if I've seen that one.
Mila Jovovich.
Jovovich?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that one. The one that really scared me, have you ever seen? This is an old one. I don't even know what year it came out. Fire in the Sky. It's about like some abduction thing. And I was
Fire
just like,
in the Sky. That's some OG stuff.
Yeah, man.
No.
It scared me. It's like, oh my God, this is scary. I don't like it.
I just watched a movie called No One Will Save You.
Oh boy.
Have you
did
seen
anyone
that?
Save him? No. Did somebody say? Did anyone get saved?
I'm not going to spoil it. But no, no one got saved.
Oh no.
But that's all. It's all about like aliens and. But it goes around, like, it goes about it this totally different way, which
wasn't
I thought was
the
very
gimmick
unique.
Of that movie that no one spoke?
Mm-mm, no, people talking it.
That's Quiet Places or whatever.
No.
Oh, Quiet Place. Quiet Place, yeah. Quiet.
You mean like the shit, the Bullock film? The Bird, whatever?
Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Anyways, though, hold on. This movie, No One Will Save You. Highly recommend it. It is on one of the streaming platforms. It's on one of them.
It's on Hulu.
Somewhere out there.
Yeah.
And there is an interaction not with one alien, but multiple aliens at different times in the movie, and a human, and it's probably as realistic as it would probably be in real life if this were to happen. Like, if you were to have an alien bust into your house, this is probably exactly what would happen.
All right.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Well, I mean, so Whitley Strieber and his wife, this is in Rice University, and they have thousands of letters about aliens and abductions. And so he just finished a book. I mean, this came out, I think, last year, called Them. And it's about like a couple of these interactions. And essentially he verbatim, essentially what they wrote. And then he kind of extrapolates to like what he thinks it is basically. So there's like 10 stories, and each of them are like utterly fascinating. I'm just like, this is some freaky stuff. Like I can't even think about it, you know? But yeah, it's just, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, once you kind of step down this rabbit hole, there's so many different permutations, and there's the whole, the government conspiracy stuff. But then there's all this other stuff that, like, you keep on kind of peeling back, and you're like, okay, this is something weird. And again, like, if people are having all these experiences, there has to be some validity to it. It just, all these people can't be making up all the stuff. That's what, to me, is like so overwhelming with all the evidence, you know?
Here's the thing.
It's crazy.
We keep on talking about these entities as if they're visiting Earth. But this documentary also proposes, which goes along with what you just said, Todd.
Right.
Maybe they have been here all along.
In the oceans.
They could either be in the oceans physically, or they are in a higher dimension. Because, like, we are in the third dimension, 3D.
Or what if they're among us, just wearing meat sleeves?
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. I think that's
David
the
Icke
possible.
Was right all along. There's reptilians wearing human skin
people.
From the center of the earth. They're in charge of the governments.
But have you ever just, like, you know, been on your commute into work and you just see someone and you're just like, yeah, you're not. No, I'm just messing with you.
You're not human.
You're not human.
Surely you're not human.
Yeah.
You're an alien from space in a meat sleeve.
Oh my God.
I
you know what? I would buy it. You know, I'd buy it either. Because, like, before we even started this, I sent that meme about, like, the alien observing.
Yes.
And he's like inside the suit. Like, yeah. Oh, I wish I could be like you guys, but I'm just in this.
I'm just observing. This meat sleeve. Yeah.
No,
well,
I mean,
that goes back to that one example of the whole panda nursery, right?
Oh, like, yeah, right.
You dress up like a panda so that the pandas think you're a panda.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And, like, our brain too, like, we fill in stuff. Our brain fills in stuff all the time.
Yep, true.
Like,
hence the people on my commute that just don't look right.
Right.
It's my brain filling in the gaps.
Dude, lizard people. Lizard people. Yeah.
I knew that man was reading a book upside down. I knew he was off.
He's not even reading.
You see some strange people on the L, but that's, yeah. You know. Now, I do buy that they have always been here, and, like, the spiritual element that you're alluding to, Todd, because, like, that final UFO that they showed, the chandelier.
Yeah.
I was looking at that, and I'm like, you know what that looks like to me? Wow. That looks like a biblically accurate angel. Because, like, people assume in, you know, traditional media.
From Ezekiel.
Yeah. Mm. That angels are, you know, angelic. You know, beautiful people, men or women, with long white angel wings. They're physically wings with feathers. Mm-hmm. But they're not described like that in the Bible. What they're described as is like a Lovecraftian monster of like 1,000 eyes and spinning wheels that are on fire, made of brass. And it's like, I'm looking at that chandelier, which kind of like looks like a chandelier or like a star.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that looks otherworldly. And there are like people that have seen them. It's like, I don't even know how that, if a person is even in that. Maybe there isn't a person in that. Maybe that is an entity beyond. Yeah, it's either a drone or it could be an entity beyond our comprehension.
Mm.
Maybe it's a spiritual being.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about this offline too, Armand. Like Diane Posolka, she was on Rogan. And she's wrote two books, American Cosmic and Encounters. And I mean, there's this guy, the one guy from NASA or whatever that she calls Tyler in a book. He's talking about downloads, like legit. He's got like all these patents that he doesn't know where he got them from, but he follows these like protocols where you know, get all this sleep and don't do this and don't do that. He gets these ideas.
Nikola Tesla said the same thing, is that,
yeah,
he's like the transmitter and he's getting his ideas from beyond.
Yes. Well, there's some famous, I forget, mathematician or something. They're still trying to, I want to say he's French, but I could be mistaken, but like, they still like, I don't know how he got these. And they're still trying to figure out, you know?
Right. And that's what people believe ideas are. Ultimately, it's like, we just like grab them out of the ether. We don't actually have the ideas. Ideas come to us.
Speaking of, did you see that scientists are trying to prove that consciousness is actually shared across everyone within space?
No.
I believe it. I think there is some sort of shared consciousness.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's this idea of obviously we're made like a lot from water and it's a perfect conductor of that. And like, I mean, there is, when you go to church, there's that kind of connection when you sing together and, you know, when you're at a concert and you're rocking out with everybody, there's a synergy there. Like in the Posolka book, they're like, they met in their dreams and then talked about it the next day and at work, like these high scientists, like they're, you know, like they're basically dreamscape stuff. Like they talked about it in the dream and then they come and work and figure out, like, do all the experiments. And I'm just like, okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's wild.
It's wild. You know? So there's like an encounter. She has this thing where, there's a American soldier he says that he's connected to the earth and he can find like literally like the rocks talk to him type thing. And he gets warnings before things were happening when he was in wartime. And I'm just like, okay.
So you're saying he's a Jedi?
So Yoda's telling me the truth. You know, the rock, the tree, he's, you know, like Jedi. All that stuff. I'm like, he is a Jedi. I'm like, okay. But, you know, you think of all these kind of mystics and, you know, they do things that are, but they also are practicing and they're not distracted by all these things. There's a lot of disciplines involved to get to those things. And I think there's something to that as far as, because again, like science can't figure out consciousness.
Exactly. We built the pyramids.
Yeah,
with our minds.
Yes.
Well, but you know,
that was also in Ancient Aliens.
We
a man was able to move like 2-ton blocks with his mind, like in his backyard. Like, I'm not going to get into it because that's a whole different podcast, but
yeah.
Yes.
Well, but so this Richard Dolan thing with UFOs, national security thing. I mean, the stuff that was like in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
The CIA was doing for real.
Mm-hmm.
That exists.
Like legit.
Yeah, they made a movie.
And that exists.
Men Who Stare at Goats, which is based, that is the program.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, I mean, that's just, because they're trying. I mean, how to locate people remotely. I mean,
yeah, the thing is that they worked. It worked.
Right.
They had clairvoyance like working for the CIA. Yes.
Yes.
Because like they're like, okay, find where the missile silos are in the Soviet Union. And then this guy doing zero research, communed. He's like, oh, he looked into the ether. And then he drew a map of exactly where their bases are.
Yes.
Well, how do you do that?
It's kind of
clearly he looked into.
I mean, yeah. It's like, and there's so many examples like of the CIA, like, just snuffing out the truth, like you're not talking about this, like especially on this UFO stuff. They're like, we'll take all this information. Thank you. That's what they try to do with the jelly.
What jelly?
The jellyfish.
Oh, the jellyfish.
They came in and expunged all that information because again, that was a shared base, and they didn't want the other country to know about it, and they grabbed it all. But they forgot.
I thought other countries knew and also had footage. But they didn't release any of it.
Yeah.
Well,
if you go down the rabbit hole, I mean, like with the CIA and stuff, I mean, they're in that book, they're talking about they released like stuff in Florida to test like plagues and stuff. And I'm like, what is going on with the CIA?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Tuskegee experiment.
The funniest thing about the jelly was that, I don't know who it was in this docuseries, but they were like, that thing is weaponized, it has a payload. I'm like, how can you tell?
Oh, yeah.
I can't even see how many limbs it has. I don't even know what this thing actually is, and you think that there's a payload already attached to this thing?
It's a imperial probe droid.
Yeah,
the Galactic Empire is real.
Yeah,
Palpatine is real.
But going into the whole like ether and shared consciousness and everything, I think there's just some lucky individuals that can tap into that. I believe in it.
It's the force.
So there's something that I've experienced and I continue to experience it. Looked further into what it is. And apparently it's something called astral projection. And to me, what it is, I mean, there's like various definitions of what this is, but to me, the best way I can describe what I experience, and it's like in between this weird state of I'm awake and conscious, but I'm basically falling asleep, but I'm not asleep, but I'm aware of everything. It literally looks like I'm going through like hyperspeed in outer space. Like what the Millennium Falcon looks like when all the stars start to like blur before it shoots off, that's what it looks like. But I'm like flying through stars.
Well, we know that dimethyltryptamine is naturally occurring in the brain.
Hmm.
Do you think perhaps?
Nah, man, I'm going to Jupiter tonight. I'll meet you there.
Do you think it could be that?
Yeah. Hey, can we talk about I don't think this is a documentary, but the Apollo stuff.
What? Oh, you want to talk about that? Did we talk about that on Ever Recorded, Todd?
I don't know.
You're talking about faking it?
Yeah. Like.
Okay. Yeah. Let me explain. Because this documentary is actually ultra hard to find. I can't even find it, but I've seen the footage of it.
Yeah.
There's a documentary out there where I forget the name of it, something like, anyways, but it shows real footage of the Apollo mission with Armstrong and then the other guys, Buzz Aldrin.
You know, the other guys.
The guys.
The wingmen.
So bad. Yeah. Those two other guys, you know.
And so they're they're recording footage of them in space, and to make them seem further away, they would record the porthole of Earth, you know, Earth in the window, mm-hmm. and they would cover up pieces of the window to make the Earth smaller, to make it look like they're further away. Mm-hmm. And I saw them putting, I guess it was paper, I don't know, but like covering up the porthole to make the Earth seem smaller. But they're actually in really low Earth orbits. Now, draw your own conclusions. But at the very least, some of the footage of them looking back at Earth was fake.
So we didn't go to the moon.
I'm not saying we didn't go to the moon. I'm just saying perhaps draw your own conclusions.
Well, but there's other... So,
why'd you want me to bring this up, Dad?
Well,
doing it for the gram. That's why they were doing it.
Well, doing it for the gram.
Oh, when they came back? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no. What I'm saying, like, there's two things. The first one is the first mission where they came back and they were like, boom. Because they're all happy go lucky when they left. And when they came back, they were like, foomp. And they saw things that they probably shouldn't have seen. And then they basically said, you can't say anything you did there or what you saw. And there is a new program or something that this was on some documentary watch that essentially shows how, you know, like through Photoshop, you could see what was doctored.
Yeah.
And majority of all those Apollo missions during that time, there's a lot of doctored photos where they like totally crop out stuff.
Yeah, UFOs. They UFOs. Would see it on the regular.
Yeah.
And they also on top of that, which I didn't know until recently, when they went up into space, they would hear music.
Yes, that was on the Rogan Pasoka thing. Yes.
Yeah. They would hear like this. Like a theremin, like old 60s.
Like a way, like.
They would hear that up in space, and it would happen so frequently that I think NASA told them, just ignore it.
Yes, but they don't know what it is.
Cosmic something.
It's not just rays. Like. Well, wait, sound doesn't exist in space.
Well, in Star Wars it does, and so now it's real here, man. So. Yeah.
So I was going to say, like, is it just like cosmic gusts that are making noise, but there is no noise in space?
Well, then the sound there's sound inside the vehicle. And also they said space has a smell, too. It smells like burnt meat.
What? No.
How can you know that without your helmet being?
I guess when they come back in, then they smell their suit.
That's weird, dude.
Or,
I mean, the whale, the whale stuff is like, oh my God. I mean, yeah, there. So she says that on the Rogan, and they play a little bit, and you can hear faintly because they're talking like it's like a, you know, it's like almost like a filter of a filter, but they're talking about like, do you hear that? I hear that. Yeah. And they essentially trained all the NASA astronauts to be like, yeah, like. Just ignore it.
And guess what, Todd? Pete and I talked about this. I forget in which episode we were doing. But, Apollo 12, after Apollo 11, they deliberately crashed the ascent stage of the lunar module onto the Earth's, onto the moon's surface, rather. NASA reported that the moon, quote, rang like a bell for almost an hour. Leading to like arguments that the moon is actually hollow like a bell.
Or a space station.
Oh.
This was November 20th, 1969.
So they purposely crashed one of the lunar
modules onto the Earth's surface, and it rang like a bell.
That's weird, dude.
This is They're just doing all these this isn't tests. BS. This is documented, too.
All I know is like this documentary showed all the Apollo like shots that these famous shots, and all of them are blacked out and they're squiggled. And I was just like, they doctored all this stuff. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
What is that? Can you DM that to me? Cause I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah. Uh-oh, Armand's reading. Hold on.
Yeah, he looks deep in thought right now.
He's like deep in thought right now.
Do you want to go into all the fun facts about the moon, Armand? Hold on. It's like perfect and should not actually exist.
Yes,
it rings
right.
Like a bell. Okay, Hollow Moon Rings Like a Bell investigates NASA's Apollo mission, which places seismometers on the moon and discovered, quote, moonquakes, a vibration felt on the moon's surface when struck by a meteorite. Uh-huh. Astronauts have described the sensation as ringing like a bell, only there is no sound in the vacuum of space. I imagine the moon with an atmosphere, each crater creating a vibration where sound waves could permeate through molecules that make life possible. Each of the 55 handbells represent our moon's natural orchestra. To form the bells, clap small... Yeah, they recreated it in this art piece, but like they're saying that the craters of the moon all create different frequencies of vibrations that will reverberate through time and space. So... maybe
I wonder if it
that's
does
what's
that
making
because
the music
most of the craters on the moon, no matter how large or how small, are almost the exact same depth.
So it's kind of like, you know, like filling up the glasses of water.
Yeah.
And you put your finger around the rim and it makes different sounds.
Yeah.
Same thing. Maybe that's what the astronauts are hearing.
Did
in
that
space.
Just go over y'all's head? That the craters are almost all the same depth,
that's
no matter
I'm,
how
I'm
large
confirming.
Or how small they are?
They're all the same depth?
That's insane. Yeah. For the most part, the crater depths for the majority of craters on the moon are almost all the same depths. No matter how large or how small, they're relatively almost all the same depths.
Lunar craters are not all the same depth. Their depths vary roughly in proportion to their diameters. To cite a few
ancient
examples,
aliens was wrong.
Tycho is 85 kilometers wide and 4,800 meters deep. Arecritus is 41 kilometers wide and 3,000 meters deep.
Jeez.
Picard is 23 kilometers
wide. I'm
going to
write
and
right.
2,400
meters production
deep.
Company that does ancient aliens and be like, hey, y'all are wrong.
Actually, you're wrong, actually, Giorgio Tacoulos. I'm not saying it's aliens that wrote this script.
It's but aliens. It's aliens.
Maybe the aliens are spreading disinformation.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Oh, 100%.
Dude, what if Grush is an alien?
Okay, no. Let's get off the fence. Speaking of that, my first question is David Grush credible?
Yes.
You think he's credible?
Yes.
You don't think he's a grifter?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, he is at his level, and they kind of talk about this in the documentary. I mean, like, he has a very high clearance level, and he's been read into all these different things, and that's why he knows so much. You don't get that by, I mean, yeah. Maybe
they're
he
not
did
firsthand accounts, suffer. Though. They're all people that he talked to, which are super high-ranking people, the highest rank that you could talk to in these departments and the United States government. But he personally has not physically seen these UAPs.
He's still
crying. I think he's just like a messenger for them. I mean, there's nothing to really discredit
the middleman.
Yeah.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I think he's credible.
I think he's credible.
But the thing is, he physically has not seen these things. He's always talked to people that worked on these projects. But he is aware of these projects because he's seen it on paper.
Regardless if he's seen it or not, bottom line, what he's saying is like the government's spending our money and we don't know where they're spending that. And there's all this tech out there that they're trying to do. And I'm fine with that. That's all the credibility I need.
Yep. Ditto.
All right. My second question, have UFOs/UAPs visited Earth?
Hell yeah.
The whole Earth. All the Earth.
The entire Earth.
All the Earth.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, since we all agree that they have come here, let's get off the fence on the most important question. Are these crafts extraterrestrial, extratemporal from another time, or extradimensional in origin from another dimension?
How about all the above?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all that, honestly.
Because Bob Lazar says that the vehicle he worked on is from another solar system.
Mm-hmm.
here's the thing, like, we are not the only ones in the universe, so check that box off. We know that there's other dimensions, check that box off. And what's the other one? Time travelers?
Time travel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to go out and believe that that's possible later on and check that box off.
I mean, there's already been, like, people describe there's other aliens besides the gray that people have documented. So it's like, I feel like there is some extraterrestrial part of it, but I'm also kind of like, they are time traveling. And so you might as well throw in the multiverse and we're good to go. I think it's like,
how about this? Would you be more terrified of a 7-foot gray,
right,
or a 2.5 to 3 foot little Mexican alien thing?
All of the above. Like, I mean, some of that stuff, like, I'm telling you, man, some of that stuff that Striebler, you know, Whitley Striebler is talking about is, like, scary, man. Oh,
yeah. No, I would be afraid of both, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, small, a super one, tall, or a big one, or a, I don't care one, what they are.
Bro, if you watch No One Will Save You,
okay,
you will get freaked out. Even though it's not one of those movies, but just the interaction of what a human with an alien would be like. It's, ooh, yeah, goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
Okay.
Well, speaking of that, do these non-human intelligences live on Earth and walk among us?
Well, isn't a dolphin non-human and also more intelligent than us?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The pilots.
You but same with, but also, like, don't, like, some, like, extraterrestrial enthusiasts or whatever, let's just say, yeah, enthusiasts.
Sure.
Don't people believe that the octopus is an alien and doesn't belong to Earth but was brought here from somewhere else?
I don't, I've know heard about that, the octopus, I've, but heard for sure mushrooms.
Times. Mushrooms?
Mm-hmm. Because they're not a plant.
Fungus.
And there's a theory
they're
that
fungi.
There's a just theory like that it came on an asteroid because it's kind of its own intelligence.
So mushrooms came from an asteroid.
That is a theory. Yeah.
It didn't. Rogan and Pasolka talked about that. With
they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like that could be the contributing factor why humans developed brains so big is that we ate psychedelic mushrooms, psilocybin. Because I grow under by poop.
Poop.
We lift the poop.
Poop.
Poop. Oh, eat the mushroom. Oh.
You know, I do love there. The theory, which is kind of a whack theory, but, you know, since we're on the topic of UFOs and interstellar travel, that the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs was actually a spaceship of humans that wiped out the dinosaurs, then, you know.
Oh, snap.
Laid down some roots.
There's a movie called 65, and that's essentially, yeah, the plot.
Kylo Ren.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That movie was hot garbage.
Oh, it's good. Hot garbage.
Hey, if you need to be entertained for a little bit before you go to bed, it's perfect.
Yeah, that one's perfect for that.
But we are dodging the questions. Do we think these non-human intelligences not only live on Earth, but also walk among us?
I
think so.
I would say... Yeah, I would say yes. So bring on the lizard people. I mean, Biden's one. We know.
Huh? What? Who?
Listen here, Jack.
Folks.
It's hard, man. You know, it's just like, you know, we're just kind of shooting from the hip, thinking that they're among us. I'm going to say, fuck yeah, they are.
I mean, wouldn't, I mean, that, like, again, I mean, if you're trying to observe, you would want to be more or less, you know, interacting in a way, and you want to be comfortable, you know, like, you want to make sure, like, you're not freaking anybody out. So you would try to adapt whatever
you
way.
Know what I would do? You know how I would observe humans if I were an alien?
Uh-huh.
I would literally camouflage myself, and this sounds really bad. Oh, this sounds really bad.
But he thought about it.
But it's something that no one, literally no one, would suspect.
The girls.
I would camouflage I would camouflage myself as like a homeless person on a street corner in a city. And I would just observe.
I love
speechless.
I love it.
The whole mental health issue that is going on with them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of weirdos. Because I'm thinking like, okay, if an alien camouflaged themselves as a human.
Yeah, this is sounding like.
They wouldn't be quite right. They'd be kind of quirky. And we see that a lot. I mean, it could be like random people walking around. Mm-hmm. You seem like, what's up with that guy?
Yeah, right. I saw an alien.
Maybe the aliens in real life are actually the super old people that just do laps in the mall on like Saturday mornings.
Mall walkers.
They're the mall walkers.
Yeah.
How do you do, fellow humans?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's another. I mean, again, this is another, probably a different podcast, but I mean, Skinwalker Ranch.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And
yep.
And then there's evidence about like them taking them home, like clingers and like the cryptoid wolfman thing. Oh my gosh. There's like this whole thing.
Man.
I'm just like messed up, man.
Yeah. Cause that area, if I remember correctly, David Grush talked about it actually, of all people. Mm-hmm. It's like a, what do you call it? This thin area between dimensions or something.
The veil is thin
or something, and there's just a lot of paranormal activity along with UFOs, but there has been multiple things. And again, this kind of goes to ATIP and OSAP and all these other things with Bigelow, and he mm-hmm. bought the ranch and
yep.
wanted to do all this stuff. And I mean, they were fiercely looking at it, and there's a lot of weird stuff that happens there.
I know. Weird. That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, that's another podcast for a different time.
All right, final question.
For a different dimension, man.
Hey, what was the UFO called that looked like the biblical UFO?
Chandelier.
What was it? The chandelier. Yeah. So that's why I posted this image in the chat. The Ezekiel image.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought of immediately when I saw that. So just want to point that one out.
It's good. It's good.
So I was looking at it, I'm like, how can it? It looks exactly like the intertwining wheels that's described in Ezekiel. Exactly. So I'm like, and like when you look at it, it's like, you know, kind of freaky. And then what's the phrase that's always told to whoever's looking at these creatures in the Bible? Be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Which is in the Bible, I think almost 100 times.
Yeah,
that exact phrase.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like when I look at that chandelier UFO, I'm like, oh, imagine seeing it in real life.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, dude.
Because like it doesn't look like this grainy footage. It looks like the actual thing,
mm-hmm.
which you can't capture well on a camera.
Gosh.
I'd be
damn, they're here. Confirmed.
They're here.
Green check mark.
We are not among us.
Blue check mark.
Yes.
We are not alone. All right. Final question. Would you recommend this documentary, UFO Revolution, to a friend?
100%. Yeah. I mean, this is, I think what they do a really good job, because it's like, I feel like this one is very modernized. Because it brings you really up to speed to almost like current events, which I think is really good, and gives you enough context to, you know, to understand where everything came from. And yeah, I I think it's a really good summarization of the, you know, the phenomenon.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Todd on that. But also, I would probably recommend it to my buddies that are somewhat already knowledgeable around like UFOs and the whole rabbit hole of what it all is. Someone who's just kind of outside of it, be like, hey, watch a few Ancient Aliens episodes first. And if you like it, watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because I really appreciate how polished this documentary series
was.
Yeah,
it's very polished.
And, like, it covers all, like, the major stuff in broad strokes, which is important. And I love Jeremy. Jeremy Corbell is a great guy, but, like, his documentaries...
They're not polished.
They're not the best.
This one's polished.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's TMZ. That's why.
Yeah.
And I will say, when I first saw that, I was like, I'm not sure this is going to be good. This is a TMZ UFO docuseries. Am I in too deep right now?
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it just were so more advanced than, like, you know, those tabloid TV or tabloid newspaper stuff. Like, I mean, this is like, there's just so much more evidence now that they can't hide it anymore. I think that's just because it doesn't take much to find information out there, you know, and more people are curious. And did you guys watch the Super Bowl? I know that's probably.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was the second or third commercial was a UFO commercial about Goldblum about homes.com.
Oh, yeah.
And it literally was talking about the aliens are here, kind of mentioned like they're among us, and then they show up and they need a place to stay.
what if all these things that are like commercials and movies and TV shows, what if they're just little clues that the government is just like slipping in, like, hey, we need a UFO commercial because they're actually here. Well, like, let's just put clues out there like it's national treasure. Right.
Yeah.
Well, but I think part of it, like, if we're really being honest, they would want, it's like an us versus them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because if you're thinking about like a foreign invader or something like that, they would want to make sure that we would fight them. And it's like, I don't know if that's really the best idea here, but they're scared. I mean, it's fear. It's fear that's driving all this cover up because, I mean, they say it multiple times in this documentary and everything you read. It's like, there is craft that are out there that we have no capability to match in any stretch of the imagination. And we're just afraid to tell everybody that we are not the superior creature in the universe.
Yeah, it's a sobering thought.
It is.
And I really like that line that they put in the documentary, too, because it's like, it's true. It's like, we think we're the apex predator of this world.
Yeah.
But we're really not.
Yeah.
We're just a whole bunch of lambs.
Sheeple.
We're sheep.
Sheeple.
I mean, we've seen Predator. We know what happens, man.
I'll be honest, dude. If that jellyfish UFO is like a real life Predator, we're done. We're
done. Do you think we got the idea?
Bro, for real.
Downloaded, baby.
But seriously, like something like that is.
I know.
Ugh. Nope.
It's just so. I mean. That's where, like, you know, like, seriously, we had this conversation like Christmas. Like, it was like, my mother-in-law's like, I don't believe in aliens. Like, it's not true. I'm like, well, you're wrong.
That's nice. You're wrong.
You're wrong.
You're wrong. You know, you're wrong. I'm just, there's so much evidence out there. I mean, and like I said, like, what surprised me so much, even with this, with the hearings and stuff, like, it was a blip, but I don't know what it's going to take. And I think part of it is, like, and, you know, we're just so desensitized with our phones and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It's like, bunch of sheeple. I don't know what it's going to take for people to realize, like, government's hiding stuff. It's real. And they're out there.
I think once we discover that the Martians that live under the surface of the planet we can harvest their bodies for oil for our cars. All of a sudden it's like, guess what? Aliens are real and we need to stop them.
It's like the Starship Troopers now? Yeah. Like we're...
yeah, there'll be batteries for our civilization.
Maybe
sounds
we're
like
the
we
batteries.
Need to send some freedom.
We are the batteries. Yeah. Have you guys seen how like a whole bunch of celebrities, specifically Zuckerberg, are building like doomsday bunkers?
No.
Like in absolutely insane doomsday bunkers.
That's for a different reason, not for aliens.
Well, okay. What if aliens
are
about
the aliens want to stop?
Come down.
The end of days from happening. They're like, hey, don't use the nukes. Don't use the nukes, guys. Unless they're like eating popcorn, space popcorn, like, all
right. Yeah, right.
I'm finally going to do it.
Oh, I finally got a good channel here.
I mean, the amount of frequency that happened after we did with the nukes is insane. And I think there's something to that. Like, yo, bro, you don't know what you're doing.
Thanks a lot.
Slow down. Slow down. Yeah, slow down.
Guys, I feel like we could talk forever on this subject.
Agreed.
But we have to put the kibosh on it for this time.
So much fun.
We'll do another UFO podcast and talk.
All right. Sounds good.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on. Todd, where can people listen to more of you?
Sure. Yeah. So I have two podcasts. So WSTR, Galactic Public Access, is a weekly Star Wars podcast that we do with my friends. And we have a lot of fun talking about topical stuff about Star Wars. And that's at WSTR Media. And then I do a father and son podcast with my son, Trent. And that's Big T, Little T podcast. And we do a little less frequently than weekly, but we just have a fun time talking about Star Wars and stuff like that.
That's amazing. And Pete, I know you're not a podcaster.
So I'm not a podcaster, but if anyone wants to listen to me, I'm always happily down to do this podcast.
There you go.
That's right. You're on for Hellraiser, Ghostbusters, Arrival. Thank you so much, guys. This has been real. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd, where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at Syndicate. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.